Well, let's look at our text. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is our text. We've been working our way point by point. We'll give you our outline of where we've been. In the men's meeting, we are actually talking about one of the things that Paul is charging Timothy with here, and that's to preach the word. Let me read the text and then I'll just share a couple of thoughts with you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and I think we have that on the screen. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So ends the reading of God's word. May we be blessed as we consider it together. As I shared, we're going through this particular section of Scripture, and we made this particular comment that there is no faithful living for Christ without faithfulness to the Word of God. It is impossible to be rightly faithful to our God unless you know what God desires, what God requires. And that comes by God's design through one primary method, and that is the preaching of the Word of God. Our study with the men today was about expositional preaching, a sign of a healthy church. In fact, Mark Dever goes so far as to say, if you are ever looking for a church, which none of you are because you found it, but if you're looking for a church, what you need to look for first and foremost is the church expositionally preaching, does that congregation find that preaching is to be the central aspect of what takes place on a Sunday morning? That the centrality of teaching the Word of God becomes the imperative. A couple of things I'll just share with you from here. One, because we enjoy John MacArthur, I'd like to read this very encouraging quote about John MacArthur. And it's on page 56. I thought this was interesting. This is one of those kind of encouragements that you wonder, is it ever going to be an encouragement? Okay, this is what this man by the name of Hughes Old said about John MacArthur's preaching. You ready? I'll take it nice and slow because then it draws this drama out. Here is what he says. Here is a preacher who has nothing in the way of a winning personality, good looks, or charm. He is a preacher who offers us nothing in the way of sophisticated homiletical packaging. No one would suggest that he is a master of the art of oratory. What he seems to have is a witness to true authority. He recognizes in Scripture the Word of God, and when he preaches, it is Scripture that one hears. It is not that the words of John MacArthur are so interesting as it is that the Word of God is of surpassing interest. That is why one listens. Now, I don't know how fair he was in the first part of his assessment. However, his second half is spot on, that a good preacher is drawing attention to the Word of God. And isn't that what Paul is fundamentally charging Timothy with? Preach the Word. Another one that I would like to share with you is just a couple of these challenges here. And this is one that I found interesting to consider. Mark Dever writes, in being committed to preach a passage of Scripture in context expositionally, that is taking as the point of the message the point of the passage. We should hear from God things that we didn't intend to hear when we set out to study the passage. And what is that a fancy way of saying? Saying that if you are really looking, digging into the Word of God, you know, we look at something and we think we got what it's going to say. But when you really start looking at it, you start finding things that you had not seen. It's there. It's not about making up something. That's where some preachers go wrong, is they think that I've got to come up with something nobody's ever come up with. Can I tell you something? You'll never do it. Or you can come up with something that nobody's come up with, but it'll have nothing to do with the Word of God. Because if it's truly the Word of God, it's already been come up with. It's just you're maybe saying it in a different way. So anyway, I found that interesting because every so often, it happened this morning, you'll have people come up and say, I never thought of that point that you brought out in the text. And Gina, there was a couple of people, and I just thought, you know, that's cool because obviously everybody's going, well, yeah, that is something. I just hadn't considered that before. And that's what the role of expositional preaching is. It's just, I'm not making anything up. I'm just trying, I'm basically being given the time to kind of go through and find those things that is so easy just to gloss over. There was a quote by Martin Luther that said this, I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. The word did it all. That should be what you look for in expositional preaching. And here is Paul telling Timothy to preach the word. I could probably give you a moment. I was going through this, the men that were there, I was thinking how many things we didn't get to talk about. It was crazy. We had a good meeting. But anyway, I won't. We'll just get into our text. There's some good things. A reminder, if you're interested at all and you're like, maybe I ought to read that, but I don't know that I want to buy the whole book, it's on our website. As a PDF, you can go and you can download it and you can read chapter 1 and be blessed by it. And guess what? You don't have to pay a single dime. It's right there for you. Why not take advantage of such things? So I encourage you to do that. So there's no faithful living for Christ without faithfulness to God's word. We're just a reminder that Paul is very much aware that his time is short on earth as he writes this particular letter. I don't know if we can emphasize that enough. There's a sense of urgency in Paul's communication here to Timothy, and you really get a sense of that as he's coming to the end. I mean, I solemnly charge you. This is why I've written this letter. I've come to this point where I need you to know, Timothy, that I'm passing the baton. This is on you. One of the things we've been trying to stress with this is because this is Scripture, because all Scripture is profitable, it is relevant, it is that which speaks to our everyday living, because that is so, we all have the responsibility of knowing God's Word and communicating God's Word. You may not all stand behind a pulpit, but you all are to know it and be proclaimers of God's Word. And so we're trying to apply these principles. And so to that point, I think it's the next slide. Remember, last week I didn't get all the way through this, so yeah, here's our outline. This is what we've been considering. We've considered already that the Word of God is to be preached in light of eschatology. Consider, as we look at the first verse, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. There's this idea that we should be looking to the future. Christ is coming again. We say, praise the Lord. But it's because he's coming again that ought to be in part our motivation for sharing God's word. Because what happens when Jesus returns again? He will judge the living and the dead. Some of your family members, some of your co-workers, some of your neighbors may be in a state that if Jesus were to come tomorrow, they would spend eternity in hell. And may it not be because we fail to preach the gospel to them. That's kind of the sense of urgency. Because Jesus is coming again, eschatology, study of future things, because there's this future judgment coming, that ought to motivate us to preach the word. We considered that. Last week we looked at God's word is to be preached as exhortation. We have an exhortation. We have the gospel that we are supposed to be communicating. It is the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the opinions of men, by the great oratory of philosophers, comes by the word of Christ. And, okay, I got to do this one. Talking about the word and what we're supposed to be communicating, and what I, one of the things I pointed out is that Mark Dever seeks to weave the gospel into this, and I just, you just heard me say it. Let me just read this to you. This is a great summation of the gospel. This is the word of Christ. We see this clearly throughout the New Testament. Consider Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This word of Christ is the great message of the gospel. Listen, that God has made us known, God has made us to know him, but that we have sinned and separated ourselves from him. That therefore God in his great love has come in the person of Jesus Christ, who has lived a perfect life, taking on our flesh and our infirmities, that he died on the cross specifically as a substitute for all those who would ever turn and trust in him, that he has been raised by God from the dead as a testimony that God has accepted this sacrifice, and that he calls us now to repent and to trust in him. You need to understand what the gospel is. It's right there. You know, many times we've talked, there was a challenge a couple of years ago. I asked all of you, can you write the gospel out in 100 words or less? I think, Peter, you had 101. Yeah, okay. Can you write that out? And there it is. Just to take something, can you articulate the gospel? What does he call the gospel? The word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. When you say you want to share the gospel, you are seeking to fulfill this principle of preaching the word. This is our exhortation. I love what Paul says to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, when he says, "For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit." Our exhortation, our gospel, is not coming as error or impurity or by way of deceit. But and I just find that phraseology encouraging. We have an exhortation. You and I are to exhort people with the gospel. And that brings us to what we'll consider tonight, and that's our third point, and that is that the Word of God is to be preached expediently. The Word of God is to be preached expediently. So we'll go to the next slide there, I think it is. There it is. And we considered everything else. I didn't get to go through and remove those slides. So let's look at verse 2 again. Follow along. And really, all we're doing is adding one word. When we talk about expository preaching, talking verse by verse, sometimes we just simply go word by word or phrase by phrase. Last week, we considered preach the word. And now we're going to say preach the word. And here's our phrase, be ready. If we're going to be busy about proclaiming God's word, duh, be ready. You can say be ready in season and out of season. That's the idea of being ready. That phrase has the sense, a twofold sense of being both ready and having a sense of urgency. Why are you ready? It's one thing to be ready. You know, it's some of us nervous types. I'm an antsy, nervous type person. So I remember one time I was going to go to the movies with my friend. I was in junior high, and we were waiting. His parents were at my house, and his parents were going to come pick us up. And so we're going to go to, I think we're going to go see Star Wars or something like that. So that tells you how long ago this was. They're supposed to be there like at 5 o'clock. I don't know what time it was, but we'll say 5 o'clock. And we were ready. He's sitting there. He's ready for his parents to come. I'm not sitting there. It's getting closer and closer. You guys know me in time, right? And so I'm at the window, and I'm like this, and come on, it's time, it's got to go. And what's my friend doing? He's sitting back there. He knows his parents, you know, probably that they're always late or something. And so he's just sitting back there, and he's calm. The idea here is not that you're sitting back just being calm. The idea is that you're ready and you have a sense of urgency. I've got to get out there and actually communicate God's word. Isn't that what's missing in so much of our evangelical zeal or so-called zeal? We know we're supposed to preach the word. Not one of you would say we aren't to preach the word. You understand the necessity that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. But two things are necessary: that you are ready to preach it. You know what the gospel is. You know what God expects to be communicated. And you have a sense of urgency. You know people today that might not be there tomorrow. You know people today, and you might not be here tomorrow. And you might be the one that has the testimony ready to go. So the sense of both readiness and urgency. And we see these ideas of readiness and urgency in the words of Jesus. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. This is not up on the screen. So Matthew chapter 24, we see the ideas of readiness and urgency married in these words of Jesus. He's giving this account of what's going to be taking place in the last days. And you're familiar with this, but I want you to see these two ideas married even in the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 42. Notice what Jesus says, therefore be on what? The alert. That's not just about being ready. That's having your senses heightened. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been, what, on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Now, just stop to think about, what does that mean? I'm ready, and pretty much the moment I let my guard down and think I've got time, isn't Jesus saying that's when the Son of Man is going to come? So there's a sense in which you are never to let that sense go dull. And we see that idea kind of carried out in Peter's words when he said, therefore be sober, be on the alert, for your enemy the devil is like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him. So there's a sense that you're ready for the roaring lion, because you're going to resist him, but you can't, if there is a man-eating lion, put your guard down ever. Do we carry that kind of passion for the Word of God? That I want to preach it and I want to be ready to preach it anytime I can preach it, however I can preach it. Isn't that what Paul's getting after Timothy? I charge you to preach the Word. Now, why would you have to tell Timothy? At this point, a young, but he's becoming a pretty seasoned pastor. He's been faithful. There's no doubt. Why would you have to tell him to be ready? Can you imagine if I gave John MacArthur, would pick on him because he can't touch me. He's a big guy. It's still, anyway. I'd give John MacArthur a call and say, hey, John, this is Ed in Arkansas. Just want to remind you, be ready on Sunday to preach. Why would I tell him that? You think he's going to be ready to preach? Has he proven himself ready to preach? I need a phone call from him, you know. Why is Paul telling him that? Well, I think a couple of things, because this kind of got fleshed out even amongst the men when we were discussing expository preaching. It is easy to get into our comfortable routines. You guys have been trying to read your Bibles now, some kind of Bible reading plan you might have started at the beginning of the year. This is the time when things you've kind of gotten into whatever routines you are. Maybe you've fallen behind. Maybe you're right where you're supposed to be. You've been on the routine. But here's the problem. Routines are what? Routines. My friend Jace back there likes to say sometimes, you're in a rut. How are you changing it up? How are you making sure that you're just not doing something that's so comfortable that you're not really doing it? In one sense, yeah, you're going through the motions, but are you really doing it. When we're preaching the word, when we're proclaiming the gospel, we talk about it all the time. Go out this week and share the gospel. But are we just saying that? Or is there a sense of urgency, a sense that we need to do that? Here's this call to be ready, to be prepared and urgent in the task. To never give up, never give out, never give over. We prayed for the mothers this morning. I prayed for our mothers with little kids and frontline gospel opportunities. I always look at Crystal. I just think of when you're back there, you got those little mission fields, right? How many moms need to be reminded who love the Lord, but in the midst of trying to clean the dishes and do the laundry and chase down the dog and get rid of that ugly diaper and all that, what did we forget to do? Preach the word. And you men who go to work, and I'd say, no, you women go to work too, I understand. But you know, you're going to work and you get in the car and you're going through your routines and you got to get the reports filed and you got to meet with this person over here and you got to get this email sent. And all of a sudden, what happens? You're not ready anymore. You've let your guard down. And so no wonder we're not preaching the gospel as we ought, because we're getting so wrapped up in the affairs of this world that we are not ready for the spiritual battles that we get to enter into. And when I say spiritual battles, you know, if the Lord is for us, how's that go? If God is for us, who can be against us? We sometimes have this notion that every spiritual battle, there will be spiritual battles that can turn ugly. But you know, they don't mostly have to be that way. To share a word about Christ to a coworker, to a family member, to drop an email to somebody to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. You know, why don't you think about going to church, or have you thought this about Jesus? Whatever it is, just to take the time, be ready for those things. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. That's what the Spirit is communicating to us here, to be prepared and urgent in the task. All of that is just crammed into this little phrase, be ready. It's one of those words that I like to call, or it's a pregnant word. It's just, it's got all of this information in it. And in this case here with Timothy, the task of preaching God's word is to be the task that is of most urgent importance. We're to be proclaiming God's word then, the terminology, because I'm trying to keep the ease, expediently, that word meaning appropriately with urgency. It shouldn't be sloppy, because then you're not ready. It shouldn't be haphazard, because, well, then that's not appropriate. We're dealing with that which brings life, that which transfers people from death to life, from darkness to light. How can we not prepare ourselves? So we are to do this expediently. It is to be done appropriately with urgency. And now here's the duh question. My duh question. You ready? Don't be glazed over yet. You haven't been here that long. What must we be doing in order to be ready like this? The duh question means it's a very simple question, right? Be in the Word. You will never be ready, moms and dads, to share the gospel with the first line of your mission field, your kids, if you yourself are not in the Word. You will never be ready to share the gospel as you ought with your neighbors or whoever it is, unless you're what? In the Word. You must be studying God's Word, and then you have to have this mindset, that sense of expediency, of preparedness. We need to be prepared to share it at all times. I love the way the Gospel of Mark ends. Go and preach the gospel to all creation. You've heard me say it before. If it moves, share Jesus with it. The tree blows in the wind, let me tell you about Jesus. This practice on the tree, it's okay. Okay, you might be thought that you're weird, but that's a whole other thing. Are you doing that? We must be studying God's Word, ready to share it at all times. Just think about this, in season and out of season. What does that mean? Be ready in season and out of season. There will be times when it is easy and appropriate and everything is going your way to share the gospel. You've been there before? They may be rare moments, but it's just like somebody says, hey, I know you're a Christian. Tell me about Jesus. You're like, oh, okay, let's go and I'll buy you a Coke and we'll talk about this. Those things may not, but there's this idea that there's in season. It's the right time. Maybe it's popular at some times. It's popular among some people occasionally to talk about Jesus or whatever. But what does it say, in season or out of season? So whether it is popular to share the gospel or not, whether it is easy or not, whether it is expected or not. How about this one? When Paul tells Timothy, in the Spirit of God, I believe, telling us, be ready to preach the word, that means be ready whether it's convenient or not. Isn't that the one that gets us? Our whole culture is built around convenience. You guys like the chairs you're sitting in? Are they comfortable? Yes. They better than wooden pews? Yes. Especially as long as I preach, are they better than wooden pews? Do you know that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who have to sit on rocks? Nothing on their backs to support their backs, and they'll sit there for longer times than we sit, and they won't be in air-conditioned buildings, and they'll sit there for hours and hours and hours. We are built on convenience and comfort. That's the way we think. And Paul's telling Timothy, I don't care if it's comfortable to share the gospel or not, preach the gospel. I don't care if it's convenient, if it's, I got to get to this next thing. If you have a divine appointment to share the gospel, preach the gospel. Everything, God will take care of the other things if that's what's of most importance. And so there's your idea, in season, out of season, whether it's convenient, whether it's not. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we read these words. We've read them, of course, many times. What does Peter say to his readers? But sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. I mean, we could have a whole sermon on that. Is Christ set apart? What is that? That's being the Word. That's know Him in a way that you know nothing else. He should be known as deeply as possible. Some of you, whatever, I guess, Jace, you know a bunch of numbers, right? No, you're in something. Well, you still know numbers, right? Okay, your accounting background and how much the sell of this and all those things. You know numbers and Carrie, you know blood things, right? What to look for in the blood count so that you know if somebody's getting better or whatever. You know all those kinds of things and you need to know that, right? Well, you need to know your numbers too, else your boss won't be happy. Whatever it is, we get to know all of these things, but here is sanctify, set apart Christ, that He's, you know Him in your heart. Always what? Here's our phrase. Being ready. Again, what does that convey? Two things. Not just readiness, but urgency. Always having this sense of urgency that you can make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is within you. Not defensively, not jumping down somebody's throat, not calling them an idiot if they don't know Jesus Christ. They're lost sinners. Have pity and compassion on them because that was you. Do it with what? Gentleness and reverence. Why would you do it with reverence? Because these people are created in the image of God, and they're lost souls, and you have the words of life. And all you need to do is make sure that Christ is set apart as that which is of supreme importance to you. You know Him so that you're ready and you have that sense that at any moment I can tell the person, this is why I hope in Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Sadly, there are many who are unable to faithfully proclaim or share God's word for one simple reason. The opposite of what I've been telling you all night. They are not ready. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, be ready. And pray for that sense of urgency. If you've not made yourself ready, it's usually because you've not studied, you've not prepared, you've not rehearsed. You know one of the most incredible things that's taking place in our church right now? You want to know what God's doing? Every Sunday, I see it Sunday morning, I see it Sunday evening, I see it on Wednesday nights, there are a group of people who are quoting God's word to one another by memory. They are literally taking the time to hide God's word in their heart, and whether they're fully aware of this, some of them are and some of them aren't, that will be fuel that God can use when the gospel is being shared. And what a blessing it is. You're going to probably see it if you stick around. Afterwards, you'll see some people trying to quote scripture to one another. Can you think of anything more blessed than that? Those are people that are seeking to make themselves ready. And by the way, if you're listening to those verses, remind them that that you're making yourself ready. You are seeking to fulfill 2 Timothy chapter 4. So, are you studying? Are you prepared? Warren Wiersbe, in this regard, said this, and I think I have this quote for you. He said this, Timothy should be diligent and alert to use every opportunity to preach the word, when it is favorable and even when it is not favorable. Listen, it is easy to make excuses when we ought to be making opportunities. I love that statement. It is easy. It is natural. It is our default position. Everyone in this room, by nature, will make an excuse rather than make an opportunity. Paul himself always found an opportunity to share the word, whether it was in the temple courts, on a stormy sea, or even in prison. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Stop making excuses and get to work. That's all kind of the sum up application of those little words. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. As mentioned, be ready has that connotation of urgency and expediency. It can actually be translated, be urgent in season. That is actually a good translation, be urgent in season. Preach the word, be urgent in season or out of season. It could be used of a soldier who is ready to go into battle at a moment's notice, or of a guard who keeps continually alert for the threat of some kind of enemy infiltration or some kind of enemy attack. It is you're looking constantly that if you are guarding the perimeter, you're looking to see if any enemies coming in. That's what this word means. Is that the way we are with the communication of God's word? This urgency comes from the fact that we recognize something we started with tonight, and that is this, that we are exhorting others with the message from the King. And we talked about the King this morning, his arrival, his appearance, and his appraisal. We have the message we talked about last week as we looked at preach the word. That phrase, preach the word, that means you are the King's herald. You and I have the privilege of having the King's words in our mouth, and we get to give them out to somebody else. Here's what the King says. What if they don't believe Jesus is King? Well, they will one day. It could be today, so why not share it today? Right? We have the King's message. And our King is benevolent, and our King is giving words not of death, not of doom, but of life. Well, let me keep the D's. Not of death, not of doom, but of deliverance. Our message is one of you either repent and live, or you continue on with what you've always done, and you will reap the judgment. Those who know Christ will be delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, which makes them now useful for the kingdom of God. If that doesn't happen, guess what? You're useless for the kingdom of God. Those who are discouraged need to be encouraged so that they can begin to walk in God's call. If you're discouraged by what's going on in this world, we'll come back to what your purpose is. If you are a believer, preach the word. There must be an urgency and expediency in the message, because it's not my message, it's God's message. It's what he told us to communicate, and that makes it important. Sadly, many have lost this push for expediency and urgency, both to be ready to share the message as well as how to share it. Richard Baxter, I have this, he's one of the Puritan divines. I love this quote. Listen to what he said. "Whatever you do, let the people see that you are in good earnest. You cannot break men's hearts by jesting with them or telling them a smooth tale or patching up a gaudy oration. Men will not cast away their dearest pleasures upon a drowsy request of one that seemeth not to mean as he speaks or to care much whether his request is granted." How are you communicating God's word? Well, pastor's been telling us we need to share the gospel, and so, hey, you know, you really should believe in Jesus like I believe in Jesus. He's really cool, and he makes me feel better. So you want to be saved? I mean, sometimes it comes down to that, isn't it? We can be like that. Is there that sense of urgency? Are you studying so that you can be ready when opportunities arise? Are you seizing opportunities, or are you simply waiting for them? I would say that one of the sins that our church, that we, not just evangelical, maybe the one of the sins of our evangelism, why we aren't better, is this: we are waiting for opportunities. I'm looking at a man up here who doesn't wait for opportunities. He goes door to door making opportunities. And whether you go door to door, you're going to cross the street to see your neighbor or be intentional at work, whatever it is, the question is, are you waiting for opportunities, or are you going out and being what God has called you to be? Fundamentally, you all are missionaries in a world that needs to hear the gospel. Do you have that sense of urgency to share God's word? Because faithful proclaimers of God's word, according to what we've read in our text tonight, must be ready and urgent, prepared in season and out of season, whether it's convenient or not. That's the message. So, as I wrap up, I'm going to give this question. Then I'll give this question, and I want to see if we can interact with it just a little bit. So here's our application question. How can we keep or develop our expediency and urgency to proclaim God's word? Do I have that up there? Yeah. Is there one more? No, I guess I show that I have that, but it's not up there. So you can go back and just show the... So here's the question. How can we keep or develop our expediency, our urgency to proclaim God's word? Let's flesh that out for just a few moments. What do you do to kind of keep yourself on that heightened alert? Or what have you seen others do that might be helpful in keeping that heightened alert? Anybody have anything that you do or anything that you can think of? I always love it when we have these discussions that keep going, and we could obviously keep going. There is no limit to the things that you can do to prepare yourself. If there were, we would get to the end of knowing God's word so perfectly so completely that there's nothing left to learn. So keep at it. Wherever you're at, you say, I should be further along. Okay, maybe you should, but get further along, all right? Or I've kind of plateaued. Well, then tell some. We talked a little bit about that's where we're supposed to be spurring one another, stimulating one another on to love and good deeds. That will not happen if you do not say, hey, I've kind of grown cold in my getting ready and my urgency. Well, then let's pray about it, and let's spend some time pushing one another into these things. So let me close in prayer, and those that need to go can. I know the kids will be back in here shortly, so let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to consider these few words, but such profound and powerful words: be ready in season and out of season. I pray that that would be the heart's desire of everyone in here. I think of all of us, from the youngest in this room to the oldest, that we would be a people that get ourselves so saturated with God's word that it would be really the first thing we think about when we get to talk to other people. We pray, Father God, for those opportunities that are all around us. Give us wisdom, Lord, that in one moment we may not be able to share something, but give us the wherewithal to come back to that person and seize those opportunities to share the gospel, to preach the word. Father God, help us to seize opportunities as we've been talking about tonight with one another, that we must stimulate one another onto love and good deeds, and that doesn't always happen in a two-hour window at church. Father God, help us to be those who reach out to one another throughout the week, to be an encouragement to one another, and as we said, to stimulate one another onto love and good deeds. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.